Aloha, folks. You are listening to Inside the Desert Oasis Room, episode number 68. This episode is sponsored by Tandawai Rum. Since 1854, Tandawai Distillers has been producing quality rum from the Philippines. The indisputable history of their Philippine rum is the foundation of which the Tandawai legacy continues today. Tandawai Asian Rum is made with premium varieties of heirloom sugarcane grown in the Visayas region of the tropical island of the Philippines. It is the same Southeast Asian vintage canes that has been cultivated for centuries in the tropical maritime climate and rich Philippine soil, which are then harvested by local farmers that makes Tandawai Asian rum distinctly Filipino. The art of making Tandawai rum is a tradition that has been passed on from one generation to the next. By using ethically sustainable green technologies, the distilled cane spirit produced from sugarcane molasses are rested in used bourbon barrels where they are aged and meticulously monitored. With an aging capacity of over 200,000 barrels, Tandawai is one of the largest dark rum producers in the world. Currently available in the USA in the state of California, Illinois, Florida, and New York, Tandawai's legacy and brand continues to expand in the global market by representing the indomitable triumph of the Filipino spirit and the celebration of the tropical Polynesian history of the Tiki movement. Tandawai rum also has lots of history in the tropical exotic cocktail era when it first began with Don the Beachcomber and his Filipino barmen in the 1930s. There's evidence that these legendary bartenders created some of the first tropical cocktail recipes using Tandawai rum. And just like the Sumatra Kula, which was originated by Don the Beachcomber as his first cocktail on his bar menu in Beverly Hills, California, Tim Walters, Tandawai's brand ambassador and cocktail engineer, debuted the Sumatra Kula cocktail at the Desert Oasis Room VIP party, which was well received by a group of enthusiastic guests. This week, beginning on January 24th, Tandawai Rum is featuring the Sumatra Kula at the prestigious James Beard House in New York City for its esteemed members and guests for the Filipino regional celebration. For more information, go to TandawaiUSA.com, and to get the recipe for the Sumatra Kula with Tandawai Rum, check out Tandawai USA's Facebook page. This podcast is also sponsored by the Royal Hawaiian. Founded in Laguna Beach, California in 1947, the Royal Hawaiian is South Orange County's premier tropical drink and dining destination. Come try their signature cocktail, the Lapu Lapu, a delicious combination of tropical fruit juices with a generous float of dark spirits. Or other island-inspired favorites like ahi tuna poke or the dynamite crab-crested mahi mahi. Enjoy their delicious brunch or drop in for happy hour from 2:30 to 5:30 p.m. daily for drink specials and more. To make a reservation, visit royalhawaiianlb.com. Okay, before I get started, I just wanted to give a big mahalo and salamat to Tandawai Rum for sponsoring a VIP party that we hosted at the Desert Oasis Room this weekend. As I've mentioned many times in the past, this podcast does not survive without the help of our sponsors or our listeners, and I've been so lucky to have so many supporters make donations that keep this show on the air. I'm so thankful for that, and I don't take any of it for granted. And for our higher-level contributors, I thought the least I could do was hold a private event in their honor. So with that, we hosted dinner, drinks, and a raffle, all of it generously sponsored by Tandawai Rum. Tim Walters, their cocktail engineer, put together a couple of Filipino-forward cocktails that everyone really enjoyed, one of which he will be serving at the James Beard House in New York this week. So thank you so much, Team Tandawai, for helping us show our VIPs a great time, and thank you to everyone who has supported the podcast, and I promise this won't be the last time we do something special for our contributors. Okay, on with the show. Today we chat with Vincent Minervino. Vincent is a man of many talents. He runs and organizes the Asbury Park Surf Music Festival, runs and manages High Tide Recordings, and drums for the surf music band The Black Flamingos. We sat down for a chat at The Reef when they were on their winter West Coast tour and talked a little bit about what it's like to pioneer surf music in New Jersey. As always, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as we did bringing it to you. If you enjoyed this episode, I'd like to invite you to subscribe to the podcast. It's free, and it will make it easier for you to enjoy future episodes as they are delivered to you automatically. Shares on your social media pages are always appreciated, and if you'd like to support the show, please stop by desertoasisroom.com and click on the donate button. Every donation, no matter the size, helps keep this podcast coming to you every week. Okay, here he is, the man of the hour, Mr. Vincent Minervino.
Inside the Desert Oasis Room.
Mm-hmm.
So, Vincent, thank you for joining the show.
Yes, thanks for having me. Yes,
Officially, to our listeners, this is the first time we're actually sitting down to meet.
Yes, we've spoken over the internet, and that's it.
Is that speaking to each other? It's communicating.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, cool, man. So you guys are in town for a big tour.
Yes. So this is our first time on the West Coast. We're out here with Black Flamingos. And this is actually our third show in 2 days. So the first part of the tour is pretty packed as far as the schedule goes. But we did L.A. last night, and then we did Riverside for a little rockabilly weekender car show today. And then this is our second show of the day.
I'm looking at my phone right now. It's Saturday,
yep.
And it's 7:30 p.m.
Yep.
And you flew in yesterday at what time?
We arrived at 8:10 at LAX.
And you've already squeezed in two shows and about ready to start your third.
Yes.
Just so that people have an idea.
Correct.
Right?
When you put it that way, it sounds pretty crazy.
Right, it is. It is. But cool, man. So, you know, I'm excited to have you on the show because I've heard a lot of good things about your band.
Wow, thank you.
And I've done a little bit of homework.
All right.
Okay, so I know that you guys were formed in 2014.
That's correct.
So, based on the website, it looks like you're the one who put the band together.
Yeah, so I knew Robbie for years. We had played in different bands that had played together many times. I played guitar and sang in a band, and Robbie played guitar in another group, and we would play together quite a bit. And I always loved his guitar playing, you know, super kind of jazzy influenced, but also manic, like very like Link Wray style. I met the woman who is my wife now. Her name's Magdalena, and we have a lot of great projects together, which we'll talk about. But her brother is Declan, our bass player.
Oh, okay.
So, all right. Yeah. Okay. So when I was sort of like, you know, I was just sort of itching to start something new, and I had always loved playing drums, and I hadn't played drums in a while in a project.
Now, when you and Robbie were playing before, were you playing the same kind of music?
Yeah, along the same lines. Robbie was in a group called Plato Zorba. They do like instrumental, spy, kind of lounge type stuff. They're still active. Actually, my label, High Tide Recordings, which I run with my wife, we put out an EP for Plato Zorba last year. But yeah, and I played in a band called The Brigantines. It's sort of like vocal surf style stuff, you know, along the lines of Beach Boys and Jan and Dean. We had played together a bunch of times, so I was itching to start a new project, and you know, I knew Robbie's style, and I was getting to know Declan as a musician, and I thought they would fit really well together. So
vocal surf.
Yeah.
Do you get a lot of shit for that?
Well,
because you know, like, there's that huge thing about Beach Boys not being surf.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You know, we call it we sort of refer to it as surf pop.
Sir, I haven't heard that term before. Is that what people are calling?
No.
It's just what you guys.
We kind of made it up, but it was like, you know, all the songs were about like the beach and cars. Like one of our, if you look this up in the deep corners of YouTube, we did a video for a song called Ray-Bans, and it's all about losing your sunglasses at the beach. And the pursuit, you know, asking locals if they've seen them, putting up reward signs, trying to get them back. And we actually did a video.
That's awesome.
For this song.
Those are some really loved sunglasses.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And we actually reenacted. Like, we went up to the locals and we were like, have you seen these? Like, they're really important glasses. And it's all in the video. We, like, filmed the whole thing.
Oh, I got to look for that. I got to look for that.
So yeah, it's you know, it's not surf in the true meaning of it, which is the instrumental stuff. But we were very influenced by the instrumental stuff. I will say it takes a certain kind of player to be able to pull off the intro stuff.
Now
so.
I'm going to say that I actually really do like the Beach Boys.
Nice,
and
us too.
And I like Jan and Dean.
Sure.
But so the other night I was organizing my iTunes, and I didn't know what genre to put them under.
Okay.
So how would you classify that music?
Depends on the album. Jan and Dean.
Because they very much sound like the Beach Boys.
Sure. Yeah, you know, like if you listen to the first two Beach Boys records, you know, Surfer Girl and... the first Surfin' USA and Surfin' Safari. Sorry. The first two records are primarily instrumental. There's a handful of vocal songs, and then they really started to focus on the vocal stuff like the third record.
So if it's an instrumental, then I can
classify that as surf?
I would say that the Beach Boys. I will go out on a limb and say that the Beach Boys still classify as surf.
All right, now you're going to get some messages,
Jan and Dean.
People are going to start commenting on that.
Hey, I'll defend that. It's fine. I mean, some of the later Beach Boys stuff, you know, definitely. You know, like Pet Sounds, fantastic album, but definitely nowhere near surf. And of course, the stuff they're doing today isn't really along those lines.
Yeah, like Kokomo.
Sure. But the early stuff, I will defend that for sure. Jan and Dean, I don't know. I'd put that in the surf pop genre, but I made that up, so don't listen to me.
All right. All right. Thanks for that. I know that somebody's going to tell me, oh, this you should classify it as this.
So surf pop. You could do that for both, actually.
Well, because under genre, right? So when I sort under genre, it's in the right spot.
Sure.
So I put it under, and I know it's not this, but I put it under classic rock for now.
All right. That's such a wide spectrum.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah, you got like...
Because you can put Steppenwolf in that.
Yeah, you got like Creedence
the same
in
time
there.
Frame.
Right.
Right? So there you go.
You can use surf pop if you want. I give you permission.
Okay. All right. Thanks. So for those that aren't really familiar with the history of the band, you have actually some pretty awesome credits. Okay, so here's what I have. You played with Dick Dale.
We have.
And Agent Orange.
We have, yep.
Dekaiju.
Yes.
Messer Chups.
We just did like 2 weeks with Messer Chups on the East Coast. It was amazing.
Okay, they came out here a few months ago too, and they did a little tour. They're awesome.
Yep, yeah, it was actually probably the same tour. We did the East Coast leg.
Okay, gotcha. Now, and then I know that you also go out to the Surfer Joe Summer Festival out in Italy. I know that you've done SG-101.
Not yet.
Not yet.
Okay. We are hoping. We'll see what happens for this year. We're hoping we can make it work. But we're good friends with Jeff, big tiki dude out there. So
yeah,
we're just waiting for the right
Jeff's
time.
Jeff's a cool guy.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome, man. So like, now that our listeners have an idea of what you guys are about and a little bit of your history, I've got a couple questions that I like to ask these questions of musicians when they go on the show, because everyone has a different answer, and I find that really interesting.
All right.
So we talked a little bit about how the band got started already. How'd you guys come up with the name, the Black Flamingos?
You know, it's not this real elaborate story. I don't know how this happened, but it's one of those YouTube rabbit holes, I think. But there's a video of a black flamingo, one black flamingo ever spotted in nature, and it was spotted in Cyprus.
Oh, in Cyprus?
Yeah, of all places. There's this whole...
Why are there flamingos in Cyprus?
I don't know.
So where did they find it?
It's about a 45-second clip.
Was it at a park or something? A park with water? Or
maybe.
Wow,
maybe.
That's interesting.
It's a 45-second clip. I'll send you a link to it.
Okay.
You can even link it in the...
Okay,
in
all right.
But... So I don't know if you know this, but a group of flamingos. You know what a group of flamingos are called?
I did. Hang on. No, I was going to say a flock. Those are seagulls.
A flamboyance.
A flamboyance.
Yes.
All right.
So pretty awesome term. We say that quite a bit. But flamboyance of flamingos was filmed in
so
Cyprus.
So when you guys are all together, you're a flamboyant.
We call it that. Yeah. Yeah, we love that. We love it. But this flamboyance was filmed, and there was just one... Amidst all of the pink flamingos, there was just one black one.
Right.
And supposedly it's some sort of like genetic mutation.
Because to be honest with you, I Googled black flamingo.
Have you seen this video then?
Just to see. Well, no, I just went under images, and under images I saw the black flamingo.
Oh, okay. All right. I will say the trend for me as a musician, and I don't know if this is the same for everyone, but I think of band names quite a bit, and a lot of them were terrible.
Yeah.
But when I sort of like thought of the name Black Flamingos for a band, that's when I was thinking like, man, who's going to be in this band? And that's when I thought of Robbie and Declan.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. Right. So it wasn't that like the project was going and then, we needed a name and that's what came. It was the name kind of came first. That's been the case for a lot of my music projects.
So does it work the same way when you write your music? Do you write to the name of a song, or do you write a song and then figure out what you're going to name it?
We do exactly the opposite with the song titles. And I'll be honest, a lot of our song titles are just sort of like silly working titles that change. Like for example, even today, we were discussing earlier about our journey to get here. And there's this huge snowstorm on the East Coast, and you know how every year, I don't know if you follow this because you're from the West Coast, but every year the meteorologists invent these new terms for the crazy snowstorms on the East Coast. And this year, the term was for the storm that just hit us, it was called a bomb cyclone.
Oh, yeah. I saw something about that on on Yahoo.
Yeah. So we were like thinking, wow, like the next song we write needs to be called Bomb Cyclone for some reason.
So then you think of the name first, and then you got to come up with...
In that case, that was one of a rare instance when we thought of a name, and we'll probably write a song to go along with it. But usually we just think of silly working titles.
And when you write a song, where does that come from? I mean, is there a formula that you use, or is there an influence?
Robbie, I would say, has been the primary songwriter in the group. He'll usually bring a skeleton of a tune where he's got a few parts. He and Declan are wild together just to watch them write, because it's like they speak this language. And I play drums, and I feel like I do okay, keeping up with those guys, but they speak this language that I don't really understand as a drummer.
That's pretty awesome.
Talking about just like different, proportions when it comes to the chord progressions and the keys that they're going to use. And it's just amazing to sit there and listen to it. And then I finally just, come in and put the groove underneath. But Robbie usually has been the spark. Declan's actually been doing quite a bit of writing lately. I think Declan has two or three tunes that he wrote that we're going to be recording on our next record. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's starting to become more of a group situation. But I don't do much writing just because I don't play guitar, in the sense that it would be suitable for songs for Black Flamingos. So I just kind of do the grooves and try and work the dynamics of the songs.
That actually leads into a couple of questions that I had, but you probably can't really speak to those, because, like, for example, you guys are a three-piece versus a four-piece.
Right.
When it comes to surf music.
Right.
That's
controversial.
That's more of an anomaly.
Yeah.
Right. And then on top of that, who's the one who's playing the lead guitar? That would be Robbie?
Robbie, yeah.
So, on some of the videos, I noticed he's using a Gretsch instead of a Jazzmaster.
Yep.
So that's also unorthodox.
Yes. In rare instances, I will say live... Where did you see him using the Gretsch? Like in the live video, the studio video?
Coffee House Studio?
Yeah. So we did a studio session with Coffee House. In order to sort of...
And it was an awesome sound.
Thanks, yeah. I'll say that that session... Here's the thing. We when we record, we pretty much record live. Neon Boneyard is pretty much live. All the core tracks are live, and then there's some layering. But Robbie, Declan, and I recorded all of the main tracks together. So when we did the Coffee House session, we wanted to sort of do something a little deliberately different. So Robbie brought the Gretsch.
Oh, that's why you did that.
Yeah, Robbie brought the Gretsch to kind of, just do a little different sound, just so it didn't sound exactly like our album.
Yeah, I was just curious if that was influenced by someone, because Link Ray, for example, has that heavier guitar sound.
Sure.
And I'm not really familiar with what kind of what kind of instruments that they use.
Yeah.
That's where I thought maybe the influence kind of came from. So.
Yeah. I do know that Ligre, did use some of the semi-hollows. Robbie is a huge Ligre fan, and I will say that, I hear a lot of... Link Ray influence in Robbie's playing for sure, and you'll probably hear a little of that tonight. I'll say it'll probably be a little muted tonight because we've been instructed to.
To
keep it kind of.
Because we're at a hotel, so.
Exactly. But if you see us in a club, you'll definitely see Robbie channeling the Link Ray for sure.
Yeah, cool.
I think he was. We played a parking garage today for the Rhythm Collision Car Show, and Robbie was hanging off the rafters in the parking garage. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
I should have went. You know what? I was preparing for this today, so I didn't go there earlier, but that's like 15 minutes from my house.
Oh, really? Yeah, so. It was cool. It was a beautiful day. The cars were awesome.
So what our listeners don't know is that, or maybe they do, that you and your wife actually planned the Asbury Park Surf Music Festival.
Correct, yeah.
So... tell us about that, and tell us about surf music in New Jersey.
Sure.
Because, I'm sure most people associate surf music with, like, California sun and surf and all that kind of stuff. Is there really a big surf music scene in New Jersey?
So I will say, to put it briefly, we're carving that out. We're building it.
Okay.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're working hard on.
Yeah, someone's got to do it, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I'll tell you, I didn't grow up in New Jersey. I grew up in Western New York, where I'm used to 6-foot snowdrifts, no big deal, and fantastic Buffalo wings, and the Buffalo Bills going to 4 straight Super Bowls. I'm not a big football fan, but when I was a kid, it was like, man, this is like great. The local team is doing really well. But so I moved down to New Jersey about 10 years ago. And it was about the first time in my life that I had lived near a beach, you know? So part of that was what really inspired me to start a surf band. You know, I had listened to surf when I was younger. My parents were into like a bunch of old-fashioned rock and roll. But of course, you always veer off of what your parents listen to because you think that, you know, you're
cooler.
You
think they're not cool.
Yeah, yeah, and then you come back and you're like, wow, like my parents were listening to like Elvis when I was young.
Exactly.
Like, they're awesome, you know?
I thought that about my dad.
Yeah. So, you know, moving to New Jersey, being near the beach, Asbury Park has made quite a turnaround in the last 10 years. You know, there was a time when, you know, people would have advised you not to venture out at all from Convention Hall. You know, the boardwalk was all overgrown and, you know, there was no shops. And
it's just weird that I don't think of New Jersey as the surf music capital of the country, you know?
Yeah. I would say that, you know, California definitely will always hold that title. But I think we're really working on creating a place for East Coast, for bands to come and play for people that love the genre on the East Coast.
Hey, man, much respect to you, man. That's pretty cool because, you know, do you know who the Sand Devils are?
The Sand Devils? No, yeah. I don't.
Okay, so Ron Rosesco, he's one of the founding members of that band, and they're based out of San Diego. Ron is from Israel.
Oh, wow.
And before he was in the Sand Devils, he was in the Astroglides. That was a band that he had in Israel.
Nice.
The Astroglides.
All right, right? Great band name.
Right, great brand name. But for a country as conservative as Israel, it's really out of the box.
Sure.
And I always joke that he was the coolest guy in Israel because he was the only guy that anybody probably heard of in Israel getting tiki mug shipped to them.
Wow.
And
nice.
Writing surf music and being in a surf band. And so
it's amazing.
It's kind of cool, right? So like when I see you guys coming out of New Jersey, that's kind of cool. It just kind of shows that, you know, it's just different. It's not.
Yeah. We get that a lot, you know, like especially with like people, like our friends, right? Like we have some really great friends, but not a lot of them are necessarily like into surf music or into like the tiki culture. Like we are. So yeah, a lot of people kind of like always like ask us like, where did this like influence come from? Or where did this love come from? And a lot of it was actually discovered together, like with my wife and I. Like I was into surf music and, you know, I wouldn't say that she was necessarily into surf or like the tiki thing, but when we met and we started traveling and, you know, working on projects together, we started the festival together. And here we are, we're working on year 5 of the festival. You know, the people we've met, the traveling we've done, a lot of it's just been centered around surf music and tiki culture. I mean, here we are, right?
Yeah, and Jeff, Big Tiki Dude, told me you're getting big numbers out there too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah, we've been growing every year, you know. So yeah, I would say we've achieved about almost 50% growth every year, you know, and we started small.
That's kind of what he told me.
Yeah. But it's been really exciting. And also I will say that, you know, a lot of that has to do with the types of bands that are, you know, interested in coming to play. Like the first year was pretty much all just like local groups, like within an hour or two from New Jersey. We had the Coffin Daggers as our headliner, who are a fantastic band. The second year we actually had the Fathoms from Massachusetts booked to be our headliners, but there was a medical emergency and they couldn't come, so they had to cancel about a month before. So that lineup kind of stayed mostly locals as well. And then I don't know if you know about Asbury Lanes, but
I don't.
So it's a bowling alley that opened in the 60s in Asbury Park. And 2 years ago now, they closed down for the first time for renovations.
Okay.
And the community is just, you know, real heartbroken about it because we're worried that it's just, you know, going to open and it's not going to be the same. But the Lanes, you know, is well known for taking those shows that maybe like they just wouldn't, you know, they wouldn't go in like the Live Nation Club, or they wouldn't be able to fill 1,000 seaters. Like, for example, Black Flamingos opened for Agent Orange at Asbury Lanes. That was like a perfect example of the type of shows they would book. And so there's a big gap with the Lanes being closed. But the first 2 years that we did our festival, it was at the Lanes. And when it closed down, we were like, man, like,
hey, where do we go
what
now?
What are we going to do?
Yeah.
And luckily, we had a friend that worked for the boardwalk, and they invited us to bring the festival over to this venue on the north side of Convention Hall. It's called the Anchor's Bend. And they built a stage for us on the beach. And the first year, we were lucky enough to have Messer Chups respond to us, and they happened to want to come to the U.S. and it just so happened that Jeff was also working on bringing them over. So Jeff and myself pretty much partnered up to book their whole U.S. tour in 2016. So that was a big kind of milestone for us. We had Messer Chups headline year three. And then last year, we just never expected this to happen, but Los Straitjackets accepted our offer to headline last year.
How
so
cool was that?
Yeah. So and I'll tell you this: we had the Fathoms booked again because we love the Fathoms, and they were going to be our headliners, and we were going to roll with that lineup. And then Los Straitjackets agent just wrote us back out of the clear blue, saying we'd like to accept your offer to play, and like my wife and I just like lost our minds.
Yeah.
So we ended up like, you know, really like trying to figure out how to make that work financially. And we got some really great sponsors on board. But, you know, every year we do it, we get more interest from different bands around the world. And you know, this year we have Satan's Pilgrims as our headliner.
Okay.
Which is gonna be great. And we're gonna announce our full lineup in like 2 weeks. But we have a fantastic lineup this year.
Very
couple
cool.
Couple California bands as well, some European bands. It's going to be really fun.
Cool, cool. So we'll give everybody the web address.
Sure, sure.
Where they can check all that
very
out.
Cool.
This episode is brought to you in part by Steadfast Pomade. Steadfast Pomade is a strong-holding, medium-bodied, water-based styling product for men and women, which leaves your hair looking slick, neat, and shiny with a clean, fresh scent. Its unique formula allows you to easily restyle your hair throughout the day and washes out with ease. Steadfast Pomade is American-made and veteran-owned. Available in original and anchor hold. Get yours today at steadfastpomade.com. Tame the waves and keep it steadfast. This episode is sponsored by Tiki Diablo, artist, carver, builder, and mug maker. Tiki Diablo makes artistically sculpted high-end mugs, bowls, and other art pieces for bars, restaurants, distilleries, and spirits companies. He also builds and installs one-of-a-kind themed environments in both residential and commercial spaces. To see his art, Tiki's mugs, or buildouts, go to TikiDiablo.com or find him on Facebook or Instagram at Tiki Diablo. This episode is also sponsored by the Tiki Tea. Founded in 1961, the Tiki Tea is a family-owned and operated tropical drink bar practicing the lost art of exotic cocktail mixing. Come try their house specialty, the Ray's Mistake, a delicious concoction of botanic liqueurs, passion fruit, gin, and rum for only $6 on Wednesdays until 9 p.m. The Tiki Tea is located at 4427 Sunset Boulevard in Hollywood, California. For more information, check out their website, tiki-ti.com. The Tiki Tea, Round Zero for tropical drinks.
I also want to talk about High Tide Recordings because I believe that's something that you're also running yourself.
Yep,
right?
Yep. My wife and I do it. Yep.
Oh, so you do that also as a partnership with your wife.
Well, that's what they say, right? It's not. Wait, what do they say? It's not what you're like. It's what you like.
Okay.
That's what brings people together.
Well, you know, so like I have my wife is a non-tiki. She's a completely opposite kind of person than me.
Okay.
She can't sit in bars and drink tropical cocktails because she's allergic to alcohol.
Okay.
And she's a little bit more of an uptown girl, right?
All right,
you know,
all right.
She likes to go to that, you know, real glitzy part of the strip in Vegas. And
sure.
And I try to avoid the strip altogether. Like, that's how different we are.
Okay.
And
That can definitely work, you know?
Well, that's what I was going to say. I was going to say is like, sometimes I'm jealous that my wife doesn't like what I like and I see these other couples enjoying this thing together, but that's not always a good thing, too.
Right.
You know, so.
True. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I will say that Magda and I spend, you know, a lot of time together because not only do we have these projects going, we do the festival together and we do High Tide. We also have a hair pomade company, which is a totally different genre than this podcast. But this is our pomade
big,
company.
Slick pomade.
Yeah, we make a traditional line of hair pomades.
Oh, very cool.
But yeah, we'll save that for the pomade podcast.
Yeah, we'll have, you know, one of the sponsors on the podcast is Steadfast Pomade.
Oh, so, cool. Nice.
Yeah, and they're very, very
Steadfast cool. is great.
Yeah, Steadfast is awesome. And, you know, what I just like about it is that it's all homegrown, right? Just like Big Slick Pomade.
Yeah, exactly.
It's all homegrown.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yeah, we're definitely
and
familiar
I
with
would,
that.
And I would encourage everybody out there, I'm not going to name names, But, you know, if you're going to throw your money at something, throw it to the mom and pop.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Support the small business.
That's awesome. Well, right? Yeah, we definitely appreciate you encouraging that because, you know, it's great when you have an idea that you put out there and people connect with it. You know, it feels really good. And, yeah, when we meet like-minded people that want to support something like that, it means a lot to us.
Cool,
so,
man.
Cool. Yeah.
Cool. So shout out to Big Slick Pomade.
Thanks. Yeah, very
yeah.
cool.
Yeah, so cool. So tell me about High Tide. I know that you got Surf, Lounge, Hawaiian
yeah.
bands in there also.
So High Tide was sort of an afterthought to the Surf Music Festival, and I'll tell you why. We did the festival for 4 years or 3 years, and then you know we were getting well a couple things. So we were getting calls for like support and promotion, you know, like marketing support for different events, and we thought it was a little bit weird for like Asbury Park Surf Music Festival to be promoting this thing that's happening in Europe or in California. So we thought it would make a little bit more sense to sort of start this maybe record label or some sort of like production company that sort of to put the festival underneath it. And that way we could maybe get involved in supporting some other events too.
Right. So it was basically made out of necessity.
Right. So it was like instead of Asbury Park Surf Music Festival is promoting these other things, High Tide puts on the Surf Music Festival, but High Tide also supports these other events too. So it made a little more sense to do that. So that's why we started it as like sort of a production company, honestly. And then the label kind of came about because so first of all, you know, the Black Flamingos recordings, we had sent it out to a couple labels. And you know, we had partnered up with a local label called Little Dick Man Records, and you know, they're from Asbury Park. They're mostly like garage and kind of like indie kind of stuff, and they had helped us out with the first EP. But when we did the LP, we wanted to really have some association with, you know, a label that had some roots in the surf genre.
Yeah.
So we had sent it to a bunch of labels, and a lot of them wrote back saying, you know what, we're not really taking on any new bands right now.
Okay.
And, you know, to us, we were just kind of saying, like, man, like, why not? You know, like, there's a lot of great bands out there. Like, why aren't these established surf labels, like, putting out like new bands? And so Magda and I kind of thought to ourselves, like, who's going to be the next like voice of these like really great surf bands that are out there right now? So one of which was this band. They're not surf, but they're like traditional Hawaiian kind of swing music, and they're called Slowey and the Boats. They're from Philadelphia, and we heard about them, and they've played our festival 2 years in a row now. I'll send you their record. It's
okay.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Arguably, and anyone can challenge me on this, I say this all the time, arguably the best traditional surf / retro swing band out there right now.
So
the best one.
I heard a little something about them too.
Oh, cool.
But I didn't know the complete name. I knew it was Slowey something.
Yeah, Slowey and the Boats.
Because I wanted to look it up. So.
But when we found out about them, they had a CD out, and like we had gotten a copy because they played at our festival, and we were telling all of our friends about them, you know, and they're like, "Oh, cool! Like, how can I hear this band?" And we're like, "Oh, they're, you know, let me pull them up on Spotify or let me pull them up on iTunes, you know, or Bandcamp." And like, it wasn't there.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were like, we went to the band. We were like, "Can we like put this album like out there in the world for you?"
Right.
And you know, they agreed to it. They at that point, I don't even think they were like really that enthused about the record anymore. It was a couple of years old, but we loved it, you know, and we really wanted to have it out there so people could listen. So
isn't
we
that funny? That's not the first time I've heard that.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes songwriters they'll write a song that they're really excited about and they can't find somebody to record it or somebody to even buy it. So then it gets forgotten.
Yeah.
And then it resurrects itself somehow.
Yeah, yeah. Somebody hears it.
Years later.
Yeah.
And it ends up being really cool.
Yeah. Know? So we put out the Slowey album. That was one of our first ones. And since then, you know, with the Black Flamingos record and Slowey, and then, you know, we've invited all these other bands to play our festival. Like we invited the Surfer Jets last year. Okay. I don't know if you know who they are.
Yes. All female. Right?
Yeah. All female surf group from Toronto. Fantastic right, musicians. Right. Super awesome style. And super nice ladies, too. And, you know, they had a recording and, you know, they weren't exactly exactly sure what they were going to do with it. So we badgered them. We were like, hey, can we put this out for you? Because we really loved it.
Yeah.
So we put out their record. We also have a band called The Men in Gray Suits from Montreal. They were nominated for Best Instrumental Album by Pipeline Instrumental Review in the UK. So, yeah, it's been really exciting. But really, we just kind of... I know it sounds kind of cliche, but we put out albums that we love. And, sure. You know, we're just hoping that, like, other people love them, too. And it's starting to happen. So it's been exciting. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, we got some really, really exciting projects coming up in 2018, too.
So let's talk about that. Before we wrap up, what is the future of not only High Tide Recordings, but Asbury Park Music Festival, Surface Festival, and the Black Flamingos?
Sure. So Black Flamingos, we'll start there. Black Flamingos, are as soon as we get back from this tour, we're going in to start recording our second full length. So Neon Boneyard came out last May, but we want to start recording the follow-up to that soon. It's probably going to take us a while, just because we have about two-thirds of the album written right now, so we're going to go in and record a bunch of stuff, but we have a very busy year coming up, so we anticipate that maybe we'll finish it in the fall and maybe put it out next spring, but we wanted to start it now because we figure, hey, we're going to come back from California, super inspired, right? Like, look at this place we're playing
right
tonight. Like, how can you not come? How can you not come home to and like want to capture that? You know, so we're going to go home and record. We have a couple exciting festivals that we're doing this year. One of which is the Hukilau.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so we're playing the Hukilau in Florida. So Low Straight Jackets are playing that. The Madeira's playing that. The Marsh and Denny Orchestra, which features Eddie Angel, they're going to be on that as well. Plus, of course, you know, some killer like bars and bartenders cool from around the world. Yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
So we're flying down to Florida to do that. So it's going to be a really great year. We're doing the Surf Music Festival again. And, you know, definitely have some other things in the works. So that's Black Flamingos. As far as the Surf Music Festival goes, you know, we're going to announce our lineup for 2018 in about 2 weeks. So you can follow us on Facebook or on Instagram. The website's apsurfmusicfest.com. You can check that out for event information and tickets. But we're really excited about the lineup this year. And we're just going to continue to, you know, again, every year we get a lot of interest from different bands. And while we can't fit them all, you know, we have some things kind of scheduled out for the next couple of years.
Right,
so we're excited to see what, you know, the future years bring. But I'll say this, you know, Magda and I talk about this all the time. As much as we love, you know, surf music, and it'll always be the core element of the festival, you know, we recognize that at a certain point we're going to run out of like big headliners because there's not a lot of them out there, you know. Luckily, Low Straight Jackets, Master Chups, Satan's Pilgrims now, and there's a few more that you know we have our eyes on for the future years. But you know, so we're just continue to try and really bring some new up and coming bands to the festival. You know, and hopefully they become the next wave of bands that are regarded as, you know, the important ones in the scene.
Every couple years, man, there's a band that comes out of nowhere and then just hits the scene real hard, and you know, they play excellent music and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, That's the cool thing about this festival that's homegrown, right?
Yeah.
There's always something that's going to pop up that's maybe going to wow you that you just be like, where were these guys?
Exactly.
How come we never booked them before?
Yeah, and that's kind of where the label, you know, comes in. You know, we want to, you know, as much as we want to support these bands with the festival, and we do our best to market and promote the artists that play our festival all year long, you know, we also want to do the physical work to, you know, get those 45s or LPs or CDs into people's hands. So that's where the label comes from. And, you know, we have a lot of exciting stuff. We're working with a band from Argentina called Los Freneticos for their next release. If you haven't heard them, amazing band. They absolutely stole the show at Surfer Joe Summer Festival last year. Their last album is amazing, and we're really excited for their new stuff. We're going to be doing a special edition 45 single with Satan's Pilgrims, releasing at the festival.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Which is really exciting. And yeah, we're hoping the Surfer Jets are able to do a full length this year. Slowly in the Boats, we just did a Christmas album with them, which was fantastic. We like hassled them to do that because we just wanted a Christmas album for Slowly in the Boats. So
when did you record that? In the summer?
They recorded it like in October.
Okay, so close enough.
Yeah, and you know, we weren't able to turn around vinyl this year because you know, vinyl lead times were like 4 months. But we were able to put it out on CD. It's out digitally, and you know, we literally sent a copy of that CD to like all of our friends and family.
Right.
Like, you know, as a Christmas gift. Like,
oh,
we just,
that's cool.
Yeah, and you know,
well,
we brought
them. You had it done fast in 2 months because I know that artists have said before, oh yeah, it's kind of weird when I recorded the Christmas album. We did that in the middle of July.
Right.
You know, and because sometimes they need more lead time.
Well, they had recorded it. Like, I don't even think they were going to do anything with it. But, it, you know, Isaac and I were just talking and he's like, oh yeah, we went in the studio and recorded a couple things. I was like, okay, when are you mixing them? Do you need artwork done? Do you need mastering? Right. And we just like really like kind of hustled to get it done. And it was like a little 6-song EP. And we labeled it as Volume 1. So we're hoping that we'll be able to do Volume 2 next year and maybe package that up as an LP release. And maybe some new non-holiday stuff from Slowing the Boats next year too. But yeah, a lot of exciting music out there. A lot of it coming from Europe, some California bands. You know, our goal really is just to help newer surf groups you know, get out there and you know, play in front of a crowd and you know, just have those records out there for people to listen to.
Pretty cool. So let's get the web addresses out to everybody if they want to check you guys out. Black Flamingos, what's the website?
So it's blackflamingosnj.com, as in New Jersey.
And I know you gave the Asbury Park Surf Music Fest. Just give that one again.
Yep, it's apsurfmusicfest.com.
And High Tide Recordings?
HighTideRecordings.com.
Awesome. That's H-I, not H-I-G-H.
Yep.
Just H-I.
High Tide. As it was sort of influenced by, like, you know, old hi-fi systems, so it was like H-I Tide, yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing you guys play.
Thank you
so much.
Obviously,
we just met, so I'm not really familiar with the music other than what I saw online. And since you're an East Coast band, you know, I've never seen you play before, so I'm excited to see you play. I know you played at the Purple Orchid last night.
Yep.
And I know that by the time people hear this, because it'll probably be a couple weeks from now, this is already passed. But I know that you're playing at the Golden Tiki in Las Vegas tomorrow.
Yep.
Tower Bar in San Diego on Wednesday, the Barclay on Thursday, the Fireside Lounge in Alameda on Friday,
yep,
the Longboard Bar on Saturday. You guys are really busy right now.
That's correct, yeah. So we're excited about this tour, and we were just talking today, because talking to all of our friends back home, that it's like negative 7 degrees right now, that we'll probably make January an annual West Coast thing.
There you go.
So we'll if not before, we'll definitely be back next January for another West Coast tour. So
very cool.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, hey, thanks again, Vincent.
Thanks for having us.
I appreciate you sitting down with the podcast.
Yeah, this was great.
Yeah,
we'll,
cool.
Yeah, we'll see it. We'll talk
Let's
soon.
Let's do a cheers and aloha.
Cheers, buddy. Yeah, absolutely.
Cheers, man. Alrighty. And if you guys have any questions, comments, or just want to leave a shout out, stop by our group page on Facebook, Inside the Desert Oasis Room, or find us on Instagram at Polynesian Pop. Cheers and aloha. We'll be right back.